2.5 hours to get to you, but I've finished my family and had some other things going on here. I finally got to you, so how's your Saturday going?
Well, it's going well. The wind is blowing like a banshee out here today.
Wow, where's that coming from?
Well, a storm's blowing in. It started blowing in last night, and it's continued through the day today, and so it's pretty hot and very windy.
That makes it very, very miserable to work outside in a hot wind, doesn't it?
Yeah, yeah. Hard if you got allergies like I do, but I suppose it's not as bad as where you are. You're in the middle of rainy season still, right?
I don't mind rain. I hate the wind. Yes, it rains every day, off and on, but it's it's amazing. You would think after this much rain, it would kind of wash the wash the country clean a little bit. But you don't really get that impression. It just brings more dirt and dirt out of the hills, and the dirt split down the street, and it brings more plastic bags and trash with it. So, I mean, it's just, it's amazing. It's amazing, but it does clean out the ditches, I guess. That's a good point, but it's just a shame that they just can't get a simple concept, like just pick up the trash and kind of make things a little bit nicer, and it doesn't take much just to make it a little bit nicer for everybody, but maybe through education they can figure it out.
Well, let's hope so.
I sent the report off. I did read through it. Of course, I typed that myself, and I have to tell you, I've got 15 years of a legal assistant that did all my typing and all my work for me, so I'm not a very good typist, as you can tell. But I did give you enough of the highlights so you can kind of see what we're thinking about. Let's talk about the gold first. I'm really impressed with the supplier. This is actually a broker who signed a brokerage agreement with a big group out at the mine. So there's not a lot of brokers and dealers in between here and there. So I think I can get him down. The difficulty is when gold gets on the move like it is now, all these guys kind of get in hysteria and they think it's worth, they really want to get up. I just told him flat out that if he wanted to deal with us, he had to be down in the $30 range, and we'll see what happens when I meet with him Monday. I told him I wanted to see the product. I'll go out, see the product. We'll test it, get a good sense of what it is. They've got all 75 kilos there. It's still in the state that it came out of the alluvial mine. It's still in, they call it gold dust. It's not really dust. It's some of the particles are pretty big. It just comes out of the they just pan it out, and it's just whatever they pick out of the pans, So I told them we couldn't buy it that way. They agreed for no fee now, I'm not sure they fire it into those things. The gold that Chris brought back, was that in those little plates, or was it in bars?
It was in plates.
Yeah. So I told them that we wanted it in plates, where we couldn't buy it. Obviously, there's too much of a risk. We've got an acid kit over here still. I'll go test it. I know how to use that. I'm quite familiar with that process, and so I'll grab some minor samples out and just test the general sample. The reason why dust is so risky, of course, is because it's not homogeneous. And so you can throw all kinds of crap in, and so you just can't. Whereas if you melt it, it becomes homogeneous, and it'll take on the properties of the whole. And so you can test it and get a valid reading on it, so that's my plan. I've got a big day Monday. I'll be at the bank early to get the wire done. I've got to site at 10:30. We've got an attorney's appointment at 4 o'clock to finish the corporate records. We've got two or three diamond meetings in between, so we're making very good progress. We're having good and then I have the meeting at the bank at 4:30 to finalize the contract, and I'm just getting that done now on the translation on our first draft of the agreement with Badam Bank. So you can just kind of get a chance of what they have in mind. I will bring that up about the screenshot with the same bank and not even bring up the issue of a letter of credit. We'll say that's just not feasible. It's just too much money for the problem, and we'll just do a screenshot, same bank. They'll have to just rely on that.
Well, you don't have to use the word screenshot. You can just say, look, we will deposit the money into our account at Chase Bank and then provide them proof that it's there. And then, when the gold arrives, we'll just transfer it interbank, makes it nice and easy, and hopefully they will agree to that. I did talk with Chase Bank about what it takes to set up a correspondent banking relationship. And the folks that I talked with are going to look into that. Jason's also going to talk to some of the folks he knows that are higher up and see if they can help out. But I think, from what I heard anyway, that it's going to take more than a guy showing up to get fingerprinted and pass the Patriot Act to open up a bank account. I mean, because it's an institution opening up an account, there's a whole department at Chase that handles that stuff. And it's, I think, a lot more involved than just one guy showing up, you know?
Well, and my original thought was to expedite our process, was to just not worry about the corresponding bank, call it that, but not really have that much of a detail, just have them open up a bank account. Right, it does take more than just showing up. We have to find out what the requirements are and doing that. And then, of course, as things move on, then they could probably help that association. But I think, first, if they can get an account there, they can get money in. That's fine. They're happy with that.
Okay, well,
just any account.
I think it would be simple for them to get an account, but I don't see why we couldn't just open up an account and put the money into it the same way that they could open up an account. And then when we put money into it, what are they going to do with it, right? They're going to just wire it to them, to their badam bank. So why wouldn't we just do the same thing? In other words, why do we have to wait 2 weeks to set this up?
I think what they're thinking is that they want to expedite it, but they want to have control. So as soon as the money hits the, rather than us, I don't know. I'll ask about that. This was a procedure that was kind of set up without me involved before I got here, and in our meeting tomorrow at 4 o'clock, I'll finish that off. I'll find out what the, you know, why they need an account and why can't we expedite it and just open up a bank there, and then as soon as the gold hits the refinery, the wire is sent. Sounds good. I'll ask that.
Okay, just an idea. So, I guess the real issue is, how does the Badam Bank know that the gold that they're buying is real? I mean, do they have testing facilities? And then I sent over to you a question a few minutes ago, or actually a couple of hours ago, that I haven't got an answer to, and that was, when will Central Bank be up and running with their smelters and things so that they can smelt the bars right there and transform the gold dust into something that is assayable?
Don't know the exact answer. I know what they're saying. They'll be done by supposed to be done by the end of September. Although we drove by yesterday and I looked through and I don't see a lot of progress from when I was here in June. So if they're going to make it in September, it's going to be awfully, awfully a lot to do in there. So I would suspect probably African Standard Time. I would say more like end of October, first of November, when they'll have the smelters, the furnaces back in, and all their equipment set up. It's going to be a very nice facility when it's done. They've added on. It's going to be a nice facility. It'll be good. So I would say sometime October, November. To answer your first question, the bank does not do any verification. That's up to us. They act as the intermediary, as a place to deposit it and to pay for it before we have to pay for it, based upon our contract, you know, with the person that we're buying it from. But we then take it from, with their guards or their security, we take it to a person of our choice and have it tested in a separate facility. Just like Chris and Dave did with that little 3.29 kilos, it would be the same process. We would take it to Dr. Kamara's friend's lab or Dr. Kamara's lab, run the quick tests on it, do the quick assays, verify it all, write a report, and then send it back. That's my understanding.
Okay, so what I'm getting at is, let's say that none of our people are in country, okay? We're all over here, and the suppliers are coming in from the bush, and they bring the dust, or they bring the slabs or the bars, and they hand it to Badam Bank and say, this is gold, and Badam Bank says, okay, Red Rock Elevated is going to buy this, then how does the bank know that they're paying for real gold when they release funds to that supplier?
at that point, we would give them instructions to test it and verify it before they released any funds. I mean, that's kind of their process, but they would have to have some specific instructions where to do it. Now, after October, the problem solved because the central bank will be the one that will verify. The central bank will have their smelters. They'll do they'll put it into bars. They'll do it between now and then. I think the process would be the same it is now. It'd be deposited. Before the bank pays any money, they would expect the buyer to assist them in getting it tested.
Okay, what I'm trying to say is if we aren't there, if the buyer's not there, then who does it? Does Dr. Kamara physically get in the car, drive over to the bank, pick up the gold, take it back to his lab, et cetera, et cetera? I mean, what's the name of the person that's going to do that, assuming you're not there, Jay's not there, none of our people are there?
Then I would have to say Dr. Kamara would be our agent.
Okay. So you understand...
We would have to appoint an agent. We have to have somebody representing us to do that.
You understand what I'm trying to get at here is you can't just set this thing up theoretically. You got to think step by step, minute by minute through the whole process. Who's in charge of the gold? Who has it? Because, see, let's say the supplier brings it into the bank. Is the supplier going to sit and wait while Kamara takes it out the back door and goes and tests it?
Right, and as far as that transaction is concerned, as far as payment, that's between the bank and between the bank and the supplier, and I guess once they bring it in, it's based upon our contract with the supplier, or whatever we've got arranged, then the bank would just pay it after. I don't know if they'd wait or not. I mean, that's a good question. I'll have to work through those particulars.
So let's say that the
supplier... Quite frankly, I'm not sure of the answer to that.
Okay, well, let's say that the supplier brings in brass and hands it to the bank, and then the bank pays him for it. Then who's at risk? Did the bank make the bad decision to buy the brass, or are they going to charge it to us?
We have no obligation to pay for anything unless it verifies at the mint. After this contract's up and running, we don't pay for anything until it's at the mint and it's verified. So we have no risk at all on that type of situation. None.
So the bank is bearing all that risk, and yet they are not going to test the gold? I find that unbelievable.
They're going to have to, and that's, I think what they're really relying on is that Central Bank will be up and running, and that they will probably include in their procedures that Central Bank is part of that process. I think what's going to happen, I don't know this, and I'll work it out tomorrow, Monday afternoon, but my expectation is that once Central Bank's up and running, when a supplier comes in, deposits the gold with the Badon Bank, says this is for the Red Rock Elevation contract, they would immediately send their agents over to Central Bank, test it, categorize it, pick it up, take it back, and then pay them for it. That's what I expect would happen. Right now, because Central Bank's torn up, I'm not sure that's going to work. We'll have to figure some other thing out between now and then, and we'll have to get very specific on details. And I can work on that tomorrow.
Okay, I did not get a copy of that contract from you last night that was in French. You'd said that you were going to send it over. So
yeah, I'm doing...
What I'm wondering is, are those kinds of procedures in that contract, is it that detailed, or is this contract just a general kind of an overview?
No. This is a general overview, and I'm going to, I submitted to them some general procedures when we met with them on Friday. We're going to have to include some other procedures. And that's maybe some things I can use your help on in doing that. I'm going to scan this for you right now and send it to you. It's in French. I had been typing it into French, and then I had, of course, got interrupted, and I wanted to have Jack do some things. But it doesn't do us a lot of good in French, obviously. But maybe you could type it and translate it. Or would you rather tell me what you'd rather me do? I've got it right here. And this is not the final one. This is the first draft, and we made some changes as far as the procedures and the protocols. I'm going to scan this, I'll email it to you, and then I'll start working on getting it typed.
Okay, I'm not sure what you mean when you say we've made some changes in terms of the procedures and protocols. have you written those changes into the contract, or is what you're sending over the contract before the changes that you guys have already agreed to?
This is a contract that does not include our discussion notes and some things that we were trying to work out on Friday. Most of that dealt with the procedure of time versus money, drawing out how we expected the procedure to work, talking about an American bank account, using that for, knowing that they had to get payment. I think they're really about is time, the time value of money. Knowing that a wire would take 3 days to get there and having that risk open. I understand it's easy for us to say that, yeah, we'll just wire when we get the money, but if they have the money there, then it's still one of their assets. They don't have to worry about that time element. It seems to me the time was what they're worried about. If they have a bank account in the U.S., we can make that direct transfer, drop it in their account. Then it's theirs. On their balance sheet, on their books, it's their money, and they don't have to worry about carrying that risk any longer, is my understanding. But that's kind of how I understood that. So we made some additions to this agreement. This agreement is just their first draft to us, and I made some suggestions, some changes, and I will get those over to you. But really what you really want to see is what we end up with on tomorrow night, or Monday night. I will get that to you midday Monday, and then you can look at it and then add some other stuff on it and give us some more suggestions.
Okay, how many pages is it in French? And then how far did Jack get on the translation?
It's 2 pages in French is all, and he got the first page done.
So, I don't know. I mean, I speak a foreign language. To translate a page, if you're fluent in both languages, shouldn't take a whole lot more time. Maybe an hour.
Yeah. And because it's obviously 11:10 here at night, we're done doing that tonight. Jack's gone, and we're kind of getting ready for bed. This is something we can do tomorrow, though.
Okay.
I'll have him finish it tomorrow.
Well, I'd like to see the French one and the English one, and then maybe you could write a summary of your notes in terms of what points in the contract you're in the middle of changing, so that I'll be well informed tomorrow, tomorrow night before you guys head to bed. And then I can send that over to Jason and Chris, particularly Chris Van Kampen, to have him look at it and give me his 2 cents worth. And then, we can maybe write back to you some suggestions on things that you ought to include in your Monday negotiations before you get there Monday. That would be very, very helpful, because I think that, we've got some experience on our end that will be beneficial to you in setting up the contract right the first time.
I agree 100%. I agree. And that's my goal, is to get that to you. I'm going to get you the French copy now with a little bit of the English, and then tomorrow morning I'll be able to get the rest of it done when I'm with Jack. Then you'll have that by all day Sunday. You'll have that a chance to get it over to those guys, and then by Monday we'll be well informed.
All right. The next thing is, I think we're probably looking at having guys take off on Tuesday to be there Wednesday. To get ready to go on the purchase of the gold.
Yes.
And to start kind of documenting things, putting together procedures so that, we'll have a well-founded base of expectations on how things should work. And I guess you had said to me that you'll have the price finalized and the contract finalized on what is now 75 kgs. Tomorrow, is that correct? You're going to have that done tomorrow?
No, Monday. I meant Monday.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, I'm thinking Monday.
Nobody does. Yeah, Monday. And I'm going to have you, I'm meeting with him in the morning. I may have to wake you up, and if I can't get better than 30, what about if it's 30 and a half? I mean, is that something you're interested in for a full 75 kgs? I guess the bottom line is I'll have to call you at the time and give you my gut on where we are.
Yeah, our bottom line is 31, but if we can do better than 31 and it gets us out of the hole faster, it benefits you. So the lower the price, the better for all of us.
Okay. So our bottom line is 31, but if we can, obviously we'll hold out for better, and unless we just absolutely can't do it. It's better to get it at 31 than not do it at all, is that what I hear you saying?
Yeah. And I think, if he's got 75 kgs, if he's willing to have us liquidate the first 50 right away or the first 25 right away and then leave the rest at the bank and we'll liquidate the rest as soon as the money arrives, he's got to know that it takes 3 or 4 days to get money over there, right?
Sure.
So what we'll probably want to do is have you set it up to where he delivers the whole 75 kgs to the bank. And then we get the first 25 to 50 of that put into, smelted into bars or slabs and get it ready for export and just do it kind of in two phases on that first 75. And then that leads to the next question, how often can he bring 75?
He claims he can do 75 a month. So that's not a really big supplier, but 75 a month is still a pretty big, as far as I can see, people say a lot of big things, but to actually deliver it, that's a pretty good chunk. So
yeah,
when he says he can do 75 a month, I believe him. I think that's pretty good. I mean, that'd be one of many suppliers we could work here, but 75 would be a good start. I mean, it's these guys are just small guys out in the bush, and he's got them lined up there, and he's got a pretty good co-op, and 75 would be a pretty good start. That would pick up to maybe 100, 125 when we're out of the rainy season.
Yeah.
The rainy season hurts them because of the alluvial mines. A lot of them are over, the river gets high, and it's just hard to really do it when it's raining all the time. It's just tough.
Yeah, and I was going to ask you the next.
It's hard to pan when it's muddy.
The next question, I'm just kind of hearkening back to our original first couple of meetings over there at the conference room by the Mint. I know Dave wanted to talk about the mines a lot, more than going over there and getting diamonds and bars. He and you were both interested and extremely excited about the mining claims that you have interest in and getting those things up and running after the rainy season is over. And we're excited about that too, because then we're kind of in control of the whole supply line and we get a lot of these shifty characters out of the way. But can you give me an update on the mines and what you're doing over there and what you want to do and when and all that?
Yeah, I haven't, quite frankly, we've had such horrible distractions the last 5 weeks or 6 weeks with Dave Shenanigans. I haven't really had a chance to follow up. We have the rights. We have to four mines. We have those available. Dr. Kamara, when I first got here, I verified those because I wanted to make sure that we were still good on those. We've got four mines out at Sigiri, we have put some budgets together to put those into operation. The budgets were about $2 million per mine, and what I really, 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 really need to do is one of the best. Guys that I know in the country. His name is Jerry Beal, J-E-R-R-Y-B-E-A-L-L. Jerry Beal lives in El Paso, Texas now. But I met him through some projects. I was working on the mining down in Kingman and then some other projects we were doing in southern Arizona. And then I just had some really good dealings with him. Fantastic, fantastic metallurgist. Worked for some of the bigger companies in the cyanide portion of the leaching. He's really one of the best cyanide leaching experts in the country. Anyway, I need really him over here, and the plan was to bring him in September, but we're delayed a little bit, so there are things to have him really do some soils testing, do some samples, get that going. But I am going to continue that process. Dr. Kamara gave Jack a list of things that we needed to do to get a mine up and running. The law requires to do some initial testing, to put up the man camps, to work through some processes. Again, everything that was told to me by Dave has been thrown out the window, and I'm going to do the due diligence myself and figure that out. And I'm working on that. I'll prepare a report of what I know so far. That is the 110% objective here is to get four mines up and running as soon as possible along the Sigre Basin. It's probably one of the most rich gold reserves still known that's still valid and hasn't been mined out. It's a fantastic reserve. I also got some reports that I probably need to get to you about some things that Dr. Kumar had given. There's a famous German metallurgist and mining engineer that had done a full sample of most of those fields, and so he had copies of that. He shared that with us and said, these are available, these, this, this, and this, and this. So it's really good to have him. Another bit of good news is Dr. Kamara, his candidate did not win the election, as you know, but as soon as he is lost, he's a good politician. He joined the right camp, and if his guy wins Alpha Conde, he's been promised that he will be appointed the new Minister of Mines and Natural Resources and Lands. Lands, Mines, and Natural Resources, or Energy, whatever that ministry is. That's great news for us because he's our dear friend and he's a fantastic man and that would be great. So the ultimate goal is mining, no question. That's what I'll pursue and we'll continue to give you the information that I have so far. Basically, still do some due diligence on what is the budgets, what it's going to actually do to set it up, get Jerry over here. And anybody else that you know in the industry that's got some expertise, I've really enjoyed working with Jerry over the years and he's fantastic. Need to get him over here, have him do some soils testing, do some preliminary leaching testing. We know it'll work because right next to two of our mine sites is where Rio Tinto is, and they heap leach. They have the heap leach process there, and so I know that'll work. But any mine engineer and metallurgist, they like to test it themselves and kind of get the feel of what they're doing. I'll keep working on that, and I'll give you some information. That is certainly something that we need to pursue.
Okay, and we'd love to be involved, and I know you need funding, and I know you need manpower, and you need expertise, and, you know, it can only just help us both if we can dig in together, if you're willing to work with us on the mine end of it as well as on the other ends. So.
Oh, of course. I mean, of course. I look at ourselves as full partners in all of this, and so heck yeah. I mean, I need your expertise. One of the things that you can do that's going to be so successful is you can our plan, quite frankly, was to generate enough money from what we were doing here to self-fund it. Hindsight now is that that's true, that's great, but if we can use other people's money and if you can find people's money that wants to put a stake in it, you'll have to make a decision on what's best, what recommendations you can make to us, kind of how you see it.
Okay.
Do we want to, if we go out and raise money on this, how do we structure that? What's the best way to structure it? It's about the budget's about $2 million a mine. You know, we need to kind of get some ideas of profitability, expect anticipated return on that investment. What do we offer the investors to that? That's something you kind of be thinking about. You don't have enough data now, obviously, because you have no idea what's out there. I mean, I understand that, but just as a general thinking, if you can kind of think some things. I raised a lot of money on my mines down in Kingman, and I basically just was promised a return of production on a scenario on these small mines that we were doing down there. But I'm not sure that's the way to go in a place like this. There are other issues we have to address. But kind of think about that. And is it likely you could find money? Are people willing? I mean, you say mining venture in Africa. Who's going to invest in that? I mean, are there people that are willing to do that? Or is there money available?
Yeah, I can tell you who will invest in that sort of a thing is somebody who knows us and trusts us because we've been able to consistently deliver gold and stones to them from the same group of people that we're dealing with in Guinea. And so, you know, that's why it's so critical on the front end that we have this success and we make it profitable and we turn a return to our investors so that they see that it's making money and it's actually working. When that happens, it's a dam break of capital coming washing over us that we're going to have to fight to figure out where to put it all. And, you know, really that's kind of the way that we're looking at it.
Good. I agree 100% then. And then so obviously it's important that we're good on the front side. So I'll work on that and see if we can get some capital or get some good information on those. Quite frankly, that's not been a top priority of mine. the last 4 or 5 weeks, as you can imagine. But it is a priority, and that's really what sold me on this African project in the first place. I've got some good background in it, and I know that it's possible. Dave knew that. I think Dave kind of enticed me on that issue. And come to find out, we do have mining claims. We do have the rights to mine those locations. So that is great. So we'll continue to pursue that.
All right. Well, that sounds good. I appreciate you taking the time on a Saturday to update us and everything, and sending the written update over is helpful. It can cut down a little bit on the phone time, but I think we're moving in the right direction, and the most important thing I believe that you can do, aside from finding our wire, finding our money, that's number one. Number two is get 75 kgs or as much gold as possible at a good price. Get it committed. Get it brought in so that it's there, ready for us, so that we can pull the trigger on a wire out to you guys to buy it and send our guys over to get it. We need to be successful in the next 7 to 10 days getting ourselves out of this hole for a variety of reasons, not the least of which is we've got some things planned 2 and 3 weeks out here that are going to be kind of like the series of dominoes here that won't happen if we don't get this next tranche done quickly. Did I cut out on that?
Top priorities, and I will keep.
Did you hear me when
can
I?
Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, I can hear you fine. Did you hear me okay on that?
Yes, I hold everything. I heard everything.
Okay,
so
good.
Perfect. Wire's top priority. Number two is to get a few successful tranches. The 75 kilos is big, and to continue to find those. Continue the investigation on the diamonds to see if we can get that to work. I'm really excited about that. But yeah, I got it loud and clear.
All right, and Badam Bank, you know, is probably 3 or 4 on the list, along with diamonds. And so I know you're working on all the top priorities, but if push comes to shove and you have to prioritize time, then I think for us anyway, that's what we would like to see your pecking order be.
Okay. Okay, bud, I got it loud and clear there, and I'll give you an update tomorrow evening. I'm going to do some quick work on this contract now, and I'll send you a little manifest that we worked on of some stones I sent up to Antwerp, so you'll have that. So check your email in a few minutes, and I'll call you. I'll talk to you tomorrow evening.
Okay, and I have one more question for you. It's a double question. How's Jay and how's Travis?
Jay is doing very, very well. Jay and I are getting along great, and Jay's a great guy. And Travis is not doing well because his daughter's back in intensive care, and it looks like she's on her way out. So it's really sad. So he's going to be okay. I mean, Trav told me when I talked to him the other day, he said, we're ready. I wish the Lord would just take her. You know, it's time. I don't hate to see her suffer anymore. It's obviously she's not going to get better. And so he's just kind of watching that go out. She's back in intensive care. They can't get her heart rate down. And they can't control some things that are happening. So the doctors are just told them that she's just in the dying process. So very tragic. But Travis is there in Salt Lake at the Primary Children's Hospital. I think that Travis's wife is in St. George. They're probably going to make arrangements to get her up there to be with the daughter when it's turned so worse. I mean, I think it's probably important that a mother be with her baby when she dies. I think that's kind of a you hate to miss that, I think. Maybe not, I don't know. But they're working on that. But he does appreciate you very much for what you did, and that's nice. Jay's doing great.
Well, I appreciate that update. We're just kind of sick to our stomachs over the whole situation. We, you know, Jason and I both can't imagine what Travis must be going through, and so he's in our thoughts and prayers as well, and so are you guys for your success and safety while you're over there in Conakry.
Thanks so much. Appreciate you very much. Appreciate your concern, and I'll call you tomorrow night.
All right, great. Thanks, Chris. Take care.